Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and we're reading from chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Matthew writes this: Jesus traveled among all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, announcing the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The size of the harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for his harvest." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So before we begin and before, we're going to be beginning today a sermon series where we're going to be looking at something that's kind of light and fun because I know people are traveling and so it's not connected each Sunday. Where we're going to be finishing out the summer by looking at some of the movies of Pixar. And I have to admit that it's a little surprising to me to begin to even say that we're halfway through the summer because it really hasn't felt like summer started. Of course, I don't really know when school ended because everything's just kind of run together, hasn't it? But it certainly doesn't feel like halfway through summer, although after our over 100 degree days last week of temperatures, I'm pretty happy that and hoping that we're at least past that part. I don't know about you all. So like I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at some of the Pixar films to see how they help us to communicate the gospel message and the truth that we receive through Jesus Christ, and a way that we can look at them and think and see that obviously I know they're not written with a Christian message in mind, but what they do is they reinforce different Christian beliefs and thoughts and actions that we can find as followers of Jesus Christ. And so some of you may remember that in the summer of 2016, we looked at some of the Pixar films. We looked at Finding Nemo and Cars and Ratatouille and Monsters, Inc. and Incredibles and the first Toy Story. And we're not going to be looking at those, although they're still on the church website if anyone wants to go back and listen to them. But some of the movies that we're going to be looking at in this series are really new. Some of them just got released in the past, 6 months or something like that. But many of them are what helped Pixar to become what it is today. And so we're going to be looking at the scriptures, we're going to be looking at the movie and how it helps to illustrate the point, and then we're going to talk about what it means for us to find the movie or to find the gospel message in the visual depictions that we see as followers of Jesus Christ. And so before I begin, I want to tell first our folks watching online that I don't know if the internet's going to do weird things when we show a video clip. I think we've done everything, but if you get kicked off, come back on because it'll restart. And so we just don't know, right? Okay. So this morning we're going to be kicking off our sermon series by looking at one of the newer Pixar films. It was released in the summer of 2016, and that movie is the movie Finding Dory. Finding Dory is the sequel to the really popular movie that we watched in our first sermon series in 2016, Finding Nemo, although you don't have to watch one of the movies to fully understand the other movie. They stand on their own. And so if you're unfamiliar with one, it's fine if you look at the other one. And so the main character of the movie, as you see right here, is Dory. Dory is a blue tang, which is a tropical fish who experiences short-term memory loss. Her memory loss occurs every 10 to 15 seconds. As she forgets what she's doing, she forgets where she's going, she forgets what she needs. And so in the movie, her friends demonstrate the grace that you and I are familiar with, either receiving or offering to someone else, as they work to help her overcome her memory issues. And so they don't attempt to fix her, but what they do attempt to do is to help her to overcome her short-term memory or forgetfulness in order to continue to stay focused on whatever it is before her, whatever task that is, or whatever it is that needs to be accomplished. And so in this movie, the main purpose of the movie is in Dory's memories. As she has one memory that stays with her, and that memory is one of her and her parents when she was a little fish. And she decides in time that she is going to go find her parents because, you know, she in her journeys has gone farther and farther away, and she doesn't know where they are. And in this recurring memory, she decides she needs to return to the jewel of Morro Bay, California, which is something that she keeps hearing in her memory. And so with this goal, with the message of her parents to just keep swimming, she sets out to swim across the Pacific Ocean in order to reconnect with her parents. Dory's friends from the first movie, Finding Nemo, travel with her, Marlin and Nemo. And they go with her to help find her goal. And that I'm not going to recount all the adventures, the challenge, the obstacles, although I hadn't seen Finding Dory in a few years, and rewatching it this week was a lot of fun. And as you can imagine, there are a lot of challenges that they face. Other creatures in the ocean, things that are in their way, until they eventually reach the jewel of Morro Bay, California, the Monterey Marine Life Institute, which is an aquarium. And when Dory gets there, she meets a grouchy octopus, some sea lions, a nearsighted shark, a beluga whale whose sonar doesn't really work, a blind whale shark, and she eventually, you know, is in the aquarium and then manages to escape, where she is able to find her parents. And she discovers the path that leads her home. And so the clip we're going to watch in just a moment is from towards the end of the movie. It's kind of in the middle to the end. And so Dory has escaped the aquarium, and she's following the path that her parents have laid out for her to find. And so the clip will show you that.
They leave my head and ideas change, and I've forgotten you, and I'm so sorry.
Dory, don't you dare be sorry. Look what you did.
What?
You found us.
That's right. You found us.
Honey, why do you think we stayed put here all these years? Because we believed one day you'd find us again.
Exactly.
But I thought you were gone. How did
we
you...
We went into quarantine to look for you, but you weren't there.
Yeah, and we knew you must have gotten out through the pipes.
Through the pipes? That's right, sweetie, so, and so we did too. And we stayed in this spot for you ever since.
Because we thought you might come back. So every day we go out and lay out...
shells.
So I have to admit, first, you're going to want to watch the rest of the movie because it's good. But this is one that is Mindy and I, you know, as we got, I think we saw this movie in Lubbock, and as we got in the car to drive home, it was one of those, it's like, holy cow, that's like a perfect illustration. In illustrating to us the preparation and the work that God has done in order to lead someone home. And so I think it ties into the gospel by showing us the ways that God lays out his grace or his forgiveness or his extension or opportunity for relationship to us through the life of his son, Jesus Christ, for us to discover it for ourselves in order to return home. And so in our scripture this morning, we've read a scripture from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And in this passage of scripture, Jesus has been teaching, he's been healing, he's been traveling around the region in the northern part of Israel in the Sea of Galilee. And Matthew writes that as Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now see, there's a couple prevalent themes in the scriptures that we can read about from the Gospels where Jesus talks about people returning to him and about how God can lead us home. The first is the theme that we read about in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, which is the parable of the prodigal son. As you all know this story, it's the story of a young man who intentionally strives away from his family, from his father, and even from God, in order to flee, to go off, to do wrong, to give his life over to sin, only to decide as he's feeding someone else's pigs in a foreign land that it's time to return home. See, in this story, the young man knows where he's going and he knows what he's done, so he knows what he needs to do in order to come home. See, this morning's scripture is a different kind of straying. It's a different kind of straying from God, and actually it's one that I think many of us can relate to in an even better way than the story of the prodigal son as we read about in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. See, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "They were like sheep without a shepherd." A sheep without a shepherd is just that. It's a sheep who has potential to wander off unintentionally without knowing that they are doing it at the time. A sheep without a shepherd is one who grazes with their eyes focused downward, constantly looking for the next tuft of grass as they move along bite by bite until the day ends and they look up and they realize that they are no longer near the flock, near their companions, or near anything. They're on their own. I thought that was a helpful picture of how shepherds graze their flocks in Israel in biblical times as well as today, because there aren't pastures full of grass as we might picture in some places. Instead, they graze their flocks on mountainous regions, kind of like that, kind of like the picture before where the hills are rocky and the mountains are there, and so the sheep are required to constantly move along, only finding each mouthful or bite of grass before they move on to the next one, leaving the root system and everything else in place so that when the flock returns, there's grass for the next time. But they have to keep moving. See, friends, here's where I think this gospel can connect to most of us. Is because this kind of straying as sheep without a shepherd is one that is unintentional. It's an unintentional kind of straying from God. It's not someone who puts their head down and is obstinate and makes the decision to leave their family and everything they know and everything they have to go and do something else. It's unintentional. And so in the movie, Dory doesn't intentionally strive to leave her parents and to go away from them. She just choice by choice got farther away. And the scripture points out that to us. It points out to us the idea of a gradual movement away from God rather than someone who intentionally leaves. But it's gradual. And so I think where it connects to us is a gradual movement is something that is often started without an intentional end goal in mind. There's not a goal at the end or something that is planned or needs to be achieved. It's a drift, isn't it? A drift that can occur as we change our behavior or our decisions based on situations that may be out of our control, but they're a series of small choices. that at the time seem inconsequential, they seem insignificant, they seem unimportant. But if you start adding up small, unimportant decision after unimportant decision after unimportant decision, in sum, there's this much larger shift that's happened that was ever desired or intended. See, here's where I think the gospel can connect to us, because I know many of us have a much greater potential for gradual drift. I mean, in our health, you may stop eating quite as healthy, although having to stay home most of the time certainly hasn't helped any of us with that, has it? But we may decide to stop, or we may unintentionally stop eating as healthy as we were, and those series of small choices add up into something much larger, right? Which is usually around our waistband. Or when we stop exercising, we look up and all of a sudden we realize that we haven't done it in a long time. I mean, this one is extremely, I mean, it's really not significant, but you know, I do walk the dog every day. But last year, like, I got out of the habit, and all of a sudden I looked around and went, I don't think I've walked the dog in 6 months. Because it's a series, right, of every night you make the choice, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. And I know that that's a very trivial thing, but if you think about it, it's an easy illustration for us to see how we are able to gradually drift away from something that we had planned or we had intended or we desire. And it's not some huge dramatic decision, but what it is it's a series of small, unintentioned, just decisions. And so in our faith, you know, it's the same way. Maybe we stop reading the Bible the way we used to. Maybe we stop praying the way we desired. Maybe we've, we're in the middle of it, right? This whole COVID thing and social distancing thing and all this stuff. I mean, we had 10 weeks of not being able to physically worship together. That's out of our hands, right? It's not like it was our choice. But now that we're able to start worshiping together, you know, it's those small decisions to get ourselves back into the habit of whether it's a good habit that we're trying to reinstill in ourselves, or it's gradual decisions that lead us further away. You get what I mean. What I'm thinking that this illustrates for us, though, and this scripture illustrates, and Jesus saying they were like sheep without a shepherd, is that it's so easy for us to fall away from God, not because of a dramatic decision, not because of some significant, determination, but it's because of a series of just short-term, short-sighted, immediate decisions that don't impact us in a positive way in the long term. But here's the grace in the story and in the movie. See, Dory's parents kept putting out shells for her to follow to find her way home. Even when they didn't know where she was, even then they didn't know what she was doing, even if, with the chance that she may never even find them. But they kept putting signs out there for her to find, so that when she encountered those purple shells as they were laid out in a row, radiating outward from their home, she could find her way home. And see, friends, the scripture and the grace for us in terms of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ is God doesn't put purple shells out for us. But God does offer us a path to find our way home and to return to Him and to be in relationship with Him, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through the grace of Jesus, it's through the work and faith of other Christians, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God speaks into our lives and helps us to live a life worthy of Him. But see, our action to receive that is each and every day we have to choose to make those decisions that help us to be led to life, as opposed to all of those decisions that can lead us away from God and out of faith and everything else. Because God has put the path out before us. It's a path that we read about in the scriptures. It's a path that we invite God to magnify and to make aware within us when we invite His Holy Spirit to fill us in our lives. And it's a path that He's put for you and for me, so that we can stay on it, and so that we can remain disciples of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.